Today's episode is sponsored by Noom. Dieting is tough. I know, I'm in the middle of one. I'm 20 pounds down, and I still got a lot more to go. One of the things that's so tough about dieting is there's too much advice. A million different websites and a million different diet plans, when what you really need is one diet plan, yours. That's where Noom comes in. Noom uses psychology and your own unique biological factors that affect weight loss to help you develop a weight loss plan customized for you. To date, Noom has helped more than 5 million people lose weight. Everyone's journey is different, so your daily lessons are personalized to you and your goals. Active first-time Noom users lose an average of 15 pounds in 15 weeks, and 95% of customers say that Noom is a good long-term solution. This is based on a 3.5-year study of actively engaged Noom users with a minimum starting BMI of 25. Individual results may vary. Visit our website for more information. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com and experience Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Today's episode is sponsored by Liquid IV. I work out every week, so it's important to stay hydrated. Plus, on top of working out, I've got a 3-year-old whose favorite after-meal activity is to run laps, like the little psychopath that she is. Clearly, I need all the hydration I can get. That's why I like to use Liquid IV for my workouts and just for my daily drinking. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. With 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the #1 powdered hydration brand in America. And I mean, yeah, vitamins and electrolytes are nice and all, but what about taste? They've got white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and my favorite, lemon lime. Tastes great to me. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code R/ at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code R/ at liquidiv.com. Welcome to R/ Pro Revenge, where a bully literally gets covered in poop. This next post comes from a news article, and according to the poster, this was OP's grade school bully. Edward Humes of Waterbury stole a truck in Northwest Connecticut on Thursday night and attempted to break into 2 homes. With a police dog following his trail, Humes plunged into a pit of cow manure on a dairy farm to mask his scent, a ploy that confused the dog, and he escaped. A state trooper later spotted a man covered in cow feces and battling hypothermia walking along Route 44. Humes was arrested, taken to Sharon Hospital to be treated and cleaned up, and was arraigned in Torrington yesterday. Well, they do say revenge is a dish best served cold, in this case, freezing and covered in cow manure. Our next Reddit post is from Deleted. About 3 months before I finally quit, I was getting really pissed. Management was never in the office, the owner couldn't make up his mind about anything, and so many people were quitting that I ended up being the only programmer/developer in an office of about 50 people, for a company that receives 95% of its business from online sales. People started taking credit for my work, and I decided to quit. I looked around for jobs, found one pretty quickly, and put in my 2 weeks' notice with a nice little note that simply said something to the effect of, "I hereby resign, effective immediately." Lo and behold, the man who had in the last few days become my manager, Frank, instead of, I don't know, maybe promoting the only programmer he had left in order to keep him, begged me to stay, promised me a raise, and told me about their new project and how he wanted me to be involved. Their plan was to open an outsourcing branch in the Philippines, and they needed someone to run the place. Since I was the only person in the company who lived in Asia before, they really felt like I was a necessity to this endeavor, and Frank offered a lot to try to make me stay. A company-provided apartment in Manila, company paid for round trips back home once every month to see family, stuff like that. I thought about it for a few days, and when my 2 weeks were about to end, I decided it was worth a shot. That's when the trouble started. Frank demanded that if I wanted to go through with it and get the raise, I had to write up the proposal. Then HR confronted me about the proposal, saying there was no way they were going to pay for anything except my salary, and eventually Frank convinced the owner, his best friend, to go through with it. The second problem came up. We were set to leave almost immediately. Malaria is a problem, and there wasn't enough time during those next couple of days to get shots or pills or anything like that. I didn't realize this until much later, but luckily it was never a problem. A few days before we were set to depart from Manila, Frank left early to go see his kids in LA. When it was time for me to leave, I, on a miserable day in February, anxiously and fully prepared to leave the States behind me for a while, walked into an airport like a moron and found that he had also bought my tickets to leave from LA. The problem is that I live in Texas, where the company is. I spent the rest of the day talking to HR, trying to convince them that it was Frank's fault that I wasn't already on my way out. The next day, I finally left. I met Frank in Tokyo the day after that. While we were standing in line to board our flight to Manila, Frank leans over and says quietly under his breath that he had forgotten to get us work visas. It didn't dawn on me how terrible a mistake that was at the time. When we get there, we checked into one of the major hotels in Manila, and before I can even touch my head to the pillow, there's big, meaty-fisted knocking on my hotel room door. It's Frank. He wants to go out and see the town. 30 drinks, a boxing match between two little people, two escorts, and some local food later, and it's 6 a.m. I tell Frank that I'm going back to the hotel. I catch a taxi and head back. Now, since I'm the only programmer left at this company, my duties don't stop once I left the company. Since this is a small company full of less than intelligent people, nobody could figure out the time difference, and constantly through the night were leaving me messages about stuff they needed done, messages that I couldn't ignore. For the next 2 days, I programmed away, mentioned every 3 hours to them that it was actually nighttime where I was and I needed sleep, and I couldn't be doing this the entire time that I was there. During this time, I didn't see Frank one bit. Turns out he was literally partying nonstop. Suddenly, I hear meaty-fisted pounding on the door again. Frank had gotten a call from the owner complaining that we weren't getting anything done like we planned. Big surprise there. His primary goals upon getting there were to acquire an apartment and an office space, so obviously this was my priority too. We run around the city for 3 weeks looking for places, and while I'm looking for an office, Frank finds an apartment. It doesn't matter that I was going to be the one living in it. It was his decision, and I don't think he really even tried to judge the apartment appropriately. There was a cockroach infestation, the water only worked partially, the AC didn't work at all. And Manila is not a place you want to live without AC. And the internet was pay-as-you-go 0.15 mbps at $15 every 3 days. Fine, I don't need internet. It's not as if I need it when I'm a programmer for web development. Frank left a few days later, leaving behind a girl he met at the club, a girl he wanted to bang, but he hired as our executive assistant. We'll call her Nancy. Nancy was the only aspect of this trip that wasn't bad. After all, it was Nancy who asked me how long my visa lasted and therefore reminded me that my 30 days were almost up to being in the country legally. I tried to get a hold of Frank and got nothing. HR was useless. I had to pay myself for a flight out of the country back to America to renew my visa out of pocket. Of course, while Frank was there, he had been paying Nancy her salary, which was a fantastic salary for anyone in the Philippines. When Frank left, he started getting sloppy. Well, sloppier. And completely forgot to pay Nancy, which, of course, he forgot to tell me about. So, while I was sitting on a beach in Okinawa, rum in hand, sun beating down upon my laptop while I furiously coded away the new system for our company's website, I get a phone call from Frank. He was furious that I hadn't paid Nancy and that the business licensure fees hadn't been paid yet. By the way, those fees were $10,000 and he wanted me to pay for them out of pocket. I was done. I snapped back at him and he and I fought over the phone for a few minutes. Him making excuses, me blaming him for the conditions I was working in. No business license, no work visa, and no office space. He settled down and congratulated me on standing up for myself. What a dick. He had continually pissed me off since he became my manager. Constantly berated me, literally picked me up and hugged me over the edge of a railing in one of the highest skyscrapers in Manila as an effing joke. And he called me gay in front of every beautiful woman that we ever met in Manila. And now he's gonna blame me for his mistakes? Sorry, but that still gets me mad. I made two more phone calls that afternoon. The first one was to Nancy to ask her what was up. She was crying because she knew that he was going to yell at me for his mistake, but she didn't have a choice because she'd spent her first salary on running water for her family's home. I told her that I wasn't mad at her, but I did explain that I wasn't going to be taking Frank's garbage anymore. The second call I made was to HR to find out if I quit, would they pay for my plane ticket back home? After a few days in Okinawa, I flew back to Manila where Nancy picked me up. She was so apologetic that it was hard to be any kind of angry with her. I told her how much I hated Frank and what my plan was. And even though Nancy made pretty good money throughout this whole ordeal, she hated Frank so much more than the money, so we forged a mini Frank revenge party. She invited me to her friend's birthday the next day, so we went, drank a ton, took a cab, and before we even reached my apartment, she started kissing me. Step one completed, steal the girl. After I'd been back in Manila maybe a week, I got another international call from Frank saying that the rest of the company was pissed off that I'd been in Okinawa, and I suppose they thought that I wasn't doing anything. I lied, saying that, in fact, I had been doing nothing, that I spent the entire time drinking at bonfires on the beach. He got mad and told me that he was going to write me up. Go for it, bro. That pissed him off, so he told me he was planning on returning to Manila shortly to get everything in order. Step 2 completed. Get Frank back to Manila. About a week later, Frank flew in, stayed at the fancy hotel again, and scheduled a meeting with me at his favorite restaurant in Manila. To be fair, it was an amazing restaurant. Nancy and I were pretty much living together at this point, though we were good at hiding it. We showed up, and Frank told us that he was very upset with the way that we were conducting business. 3 hours later, and he had successfully insulted every single thing he knew about me. My principles, Nancy's innocence, and my experience. He told me that he understood why I was having so much trouble with this job, that it was because I wasn't used to moving across the planet. I'd like to remind you that the whole reason why Frank picked me for this job in the first place was because I used to live in Asia and then moved to America. So this guy clearly doesn't know what he's talking about. He went back to his apartment and, feeling charitable, offered me the chance to go back to the States to see my family and give myself a chance to relax and get away from all this foreign stuff for a while. Thanks, Frank. Step 3 completed. Get back to the States. I told Nancy goodbye, flew back to Texas, and vegged out at my mom's house for a week and a half before HR called me to say that although Frank had given me 2 weeks vacation, I was only eligible for 1 week. But they could let me stay out of work for no pay for the rest of the week if I wanted to. So I calmly but furiously ended the call, opened my laptop, deleted all my progress that I'd made for the company's website for the last few weeks, and never uploaded it. Then I wrote my notice. Effective immediately, I quit. Wanna know why? Then I went on to explain in vivid and exorbitant detail a 2-page notice with everything that happened with Frank and in Manila. Including, but not limited to, how Frank wasted company funds on plane tickets that were never used. How I was made to pay out of pocket on more than one occasion for flights to renew my visa, business licensure fees, apartment rent, international calls, and internet. How Frank regularly spent company money on hookers, alcohol, club entry fees, expensive food, etc. That he hired our executive assistant in hopes of eventually passionately hugging her. How Frank had missed multiple payments, salaries for Nancy, and had never, the entire time that I was there, actually acquired an office. I implied that, actually, the whole reason why he wanted to do this was it so that he could sell the branch and pocket it for profit. Here comes the good part. Shortly after I left, Nancy quit. Last I'd heard about Frank, he was fired and lost his work visa for the States. He was Australian. He managed to convince the owner of the company to let him open the office anyways. But he lost that contract because he hired people who knew nothing about web development. Then he lost the business in the Philippines, married a Philippine hooker, had a heart attack, and has been traveling without a home, relying on Airbnb bookings. So I guess step 4 complete ruined Frank's life? I feel bad about the heart attack, not that I caused it. He had a way of eating that doctors wouldn't dare call unhealthy for the reason that it's too soft a word.
I, on the other hand, loved Manila, loved the Philippines, loved getting to go back to Okinawa, and have been in constant contact with Nancy ever since. We're actually planning on getting married soon, so it wasn't a total waste. The only problem is trying to explain this to my future employers.
Our next Reddit post is from Quite Thunder. About a year ago, I received a call from an unknown number on my cell phone. It was an automated message to call an 888 number in regards to serving me papers. I knew right away that this may have been a collection agency. I Googled the number and confirmed it. Now, I have to disclose that I did have identity theft almost 20 years ago. To this day, I occasionally get calls from collection agencies trying to collect on some debt from 20 years ago that was cleared. Now, most of the time, when I get these calls, I ask for their address so I can send in all the documentation that proves that I suffered from identity theft. Granted, they shouldn't be calling me in the first place, but they typically apologize and I don't get another call. Plus, they usually mail me back and say that they closed the account. Well, I went to call this person, and I've gotta say, this call was interesting. The woman answered and I gave her my information. She started rattling off a debt that was back in 1995. I let her finish, and I told her that this debt wasn't mine because of the identity theft. As soon as I said that, she freaked out. She kept saying that she knew the debt was mine and that I'm going to pay. I kept telling her that I wanted to mail her the documentation proof. But she flat out refused. When I told her that I knew my rights, she said that I had the right to pay my debt. She then said that she was going to put a lien on your huge pretty house, and she was describing the house to the letter. She also said that she's going to put a lien on my Lexus that she sees in my driveway. She said the gate that I have in my driveway won't stop the repossession. She then hung up. Now, I knew better. All she did was get my info from public records and then saw my house on Google Street View. My guess is that she tried to push this intimidation on other people who knew better. So far, this appeared to be a very disreputable company. I also recorded the conversation when I called in. These recordings were legal because I asked her if phone calls can be recorded for quality control purposes, and she said of course. I was willing to just let this go and chalk it up to the lady being crazy. But I kept getting automated phone calls, and I couldn't block them because they were unknown. I Googled the company, and I thought that they were in Ohio. I saw a couple of indications that the person who owned the company was an attorney, and that they were being indicted on charges. So I placed a complaint with the Ohio Attorney General. They couldn't find any information on what I was submitting, but they did call the number that I gave them, and the Attorney General told me that they would stop them from calling me. Well, 3 months later, I called this number back. I had the idea of maybe trying to get more information about the company through the automated message system. Well, that paid off. As soon as I pressed zero, I got a different company name. I Googled that company and got tons of complaints. This led me to a company that existed in New York. I complained to the Attorney General of New York and gave them all of my info. I did quite a bit of research over the next couple of weeks, and I found out a whole bunch of information, such as the company's owner. I also found the owner's address and their Facebook account. I then got another phone call from an unknown caller, but this time it was a different company. Basically, the company just keeps changing their name, but the parent company still calls. I'd finally had enough of this. I hired a private investigator, and they were quite happy with all the information I had so far. So, I let the private investigator do his thing. Well, he calls me back saying the company isn't even registered, and it's all run by this one lady. I found out that the rude lady I originally talked to was the owner, and she wasn't running a legitimate business. I got a process server to file a claim in New York. Problem was, she wasn't able to be served. The house she owned, she couldn't be served at. Either she wasn't there, or she was actually living somewhere else. Well, my private investigator started sending out friend requests to her and other people in her friends list. Well, her friends, and then she accepted the Facebook request. My private investigator found out that she cheated on her boyfriend a month ago since she posted about it. The private investigator gave me an idea of trying to reach out to her boyfriend, and if he can lead us to serve her, I'll give him $500. Well, that plan worked. We were able to serve her at her parents' house just 20 minutes away. I fly up to New York, and since it's small claims, it's just me and this lady. For some reason, her mother is there too. I give the judge all of my information and explain how she broke the law.
She broke debt collection laws and she made threats over the phone. After the judge heard all the trouble I had with these calls and how she purposefully hid her identity, the judge gave me the maximum amount, $3,000. After the case, I heard her mother loudly whispering, but I heard it. You better hope he doesn't take your house. Your great-grandfather built that with his own bare hands. I was thinking, it would be sweet revenge if I could actually put a lien on that house. Well, lo and behold, I found out the house had a second mortgage attached to it. Between the property value of the house and the sale value, I wouldn't end up getting the lien money since the secondary mortgage was almost as much as the house. I was then contemplating how I was going to get the money from this lady. My private investigator calls me 5 months later and says that this lady's house is going into foreclosure. I got a proxy to bid for me. But as in most foreclosure actions, the bank buys it back as an REO. I decided to send in a lowball offer to buy the house a couple of months later. The bank accepted my offer. My guess is that it's a small town and trying to get the right market was an issue. You may be wondering why I even bought this house. Well, here's why. This B-word threatened to put a lien on my house with no merit. Well, guess what? I effing took her house. It was completely worth it. It didn't cost me too much, and I had the money. The house is actually in decent shape, just a little small. Plus, it'll be a nice summer home when I go to visit my relatives. Oh, and I decided to rub salt in the wound. I sent a letter to the parents' address letting them know that I took this lady's house. I told them that if her daughter wouldn't be in the business of scamming people, they might not have lost the house. I also found out that the Attorney General of New York is now investigating this lady. I hope they throw the book at her. I'm not going to mention the name of the collection agency, but if you suddenly stop getting phone calls from them, you're welcome. Man, OP has true FU money. A nice house with a gate, a Lexus, enough free money to hire a private investigator, and to bribe the boyfriend. And not to mention, he flew to New York just to sue her and then bought her house. OP must be loaded. OP clearly has too much money and too much time on his hands. Not the type of guy you want to piss off. That was r/ProRevenge, and if you like this content, be sure to follow my podcast because I put out new Reddit podcast episodes every single day.